The dark, compact form in uniform looked vaguely familiar. Harris paused, suddenly wary. Upright, as only the military youth were, and ensign's insignia. Then the young man turned and met her eyes. She felt that look as a blow to the gut.
Baron!
Captain Serrano.
His formality steadied her. Her own distant cousin, and he gave her her title.
What is it? Would you prefer to talk in my quarters?
If you don't mind.
He waited for her answer in that contained, measured posture she knew so well. He would wait for a day if she chose to make him.
Come along, then.
Harris led the way, feeling vulnerable as she had not for a long time. He could kill her easily, be gone before anyone knew. No, that was ridiculous. Why would he? When they reached her quarters, she preceded him through the door and went around behind her desk.
Have a seat.
But Baron stood before her desk like any junior officer called before her. His eyes, after one quick flicker around the room, settled on her face. She waited, wondering if she must prompt him with a question.
I came to offer you formal apologies on behalf of the family.
You?
Captain Serrano, I admit I... Perhaps I overstated my authority.
Go on.
My grandmother, your aunt, Admiral Vita Serrano, asked me to find you. With apologies, no one more senior could be spared under the circumstances.
The circumstances being?
The unsettled state of things in the Familius. All leaves canceled, all active duty personnel called in.
I know what all leaves canceled means. But I also know they released all the Royal Junior Officers and dispersed the on-planet regiment on Rockhouse.
Things have changed. Glennis and I were the only ones old enough that didn't have other assignments. She went up Axis and I went down. They weren't sure where and when we'd catch up with you, you see.
But the point is... apology? And for what?
For not backing you when you were under investigation.
In Baron's young voice, it sounded innocent enough. She wondered if he understood what had happened, if his elders had explained it to him.
I was told to say that your aunt, the Admiral Serrano, was not informed until too late of the situation you were in, and would certainly have given you assistance had she known.
Her aunt, the Admiral. It was just possible that she had not known until after Harris's resignation, if no one had thought to inform her. But she should have been told. She was then the most distant high-ranking family member, but not the only one. Other admirals Serrano had been closer, must have known about it. Why hadn't one of them done something?
I didn't know any of this before, sir. Ma'am.
I wouldn't expect you would have.
I mean, the admiral said there was some kind of trouble in the family, something she hadn't anticipated. Not whatever it was with you, but...
You mean you don't know what's happened to me? Whatever's happened to the grapevine... It's been long enough. I'd expect it to be all over every prep school with a single fleet brat in it.
There have been rumors.
I would hope so. What's a lifetime of experience for, if not to make rumors fly? Let me straighten out a few things for you, young man.
She paused, thinking how best to put it.
What happened was that I accomplished my assigned mission, but not in the way I'd been told to do it. My way saved lives, but it made an admiral look stupid. Lupescu, if you've ever heard of him.
No, I haven't.
Bloodthirsty bastard. He liked wasting troops. I killed him.
What?
He looked as if the sky had just fallen. She almost laughed. Had she ever been that innocently certain that everyone followed the rules, that hierarchies never tumbled?
Not then. Sorry, I got it out of sequence. Let's see... He was furious that I had not won the battle in his way and swore he'd get revenge. There was a board of inquiry, of course. Evidence had disappeared.
She didn't really want to tell him how. It was too complicated and involved too many names he might know.
I was offered immunity for my crew if I would resign my commission. Otherwise, courts-martial for all. Considering Lupescu's position... the rules of engagement, and the fact that no one from the family spoke for me, I decided to resign and save my crew.
But why didn't...
I don't know why someone didn't do something. Let me finish. What I didn't know was that after I resigned, after I was gone from his sector, Lupescu charged my crew. Most were convicted of serious breaches of regulation and were dispersed to various fleet prisons. Some he took to a private hunting reserve and hunted.
Hunted? You mean like animals?
Precisely. With friends of his who liked the same thing.
She didn't mention the prince. His death had earned her silence.
How did you find out?
I killed him when I found him, which was, luckily for me, in the process of that hunting trip, when his guilt was not in question. My crew, the survivors, were rehabilitated and given the choice of remaining in fleet or taking a settlement and going civilian. Some of them are here, with me.
Couldn't you have gone back?
Of course, but...
Harris wondered how much to explain to this young man, this mere child, as he seemed to her. Could he understand that it wasn't merely pique? She'd already explained more than he was likely to absorb. He knew no world but fleet. He could imagine no other choice than returning to it.
So, that's what my side of the trouble was like. Now, what did the Admiral want me to know?
She didn't explain much, really. She wanted you to know she hadn't known about your trouble in time, and I think she blamed some of the others in the family. Your parents among them.
It's not my problem, though.
Harris wasn't about to discuss her parents with him.
No, but she'd like to talk to you the next time you're anywhere near.
Which was likely to be a long time from now. Already her mind was moving beyond this to how she was going to ease this young relation off the ship and on his way.
Did she give you an itinerary?
He fished in his pocket and came up with a small data cube.
Yes, here. It's compressed format. She sent an adapter in case you don't have a reader with the right interface.
Thanks.
Harris wasn't going to tell him that she had a couple of experts who could strip the data out of virtually any storage device. Whatever her aunt the Admiral was up to, she would keep her own secrets.
Come on in.
Captain, the new installations are ready for inspection.
Thank you. I'll be along shortly.
Brunn nodded and withdrew.
I'll be going.
Yes. I'm sorry, but I do have some shipwork underway. Tell you what, why not have dinner with me this evening? You can bring me up to date on your sibs and cousins.
Do you really... Grandmother said not to waste your time. Just give you the message and the cube and get out of your way.
She must think I've grown to be quite an ogre.
That Admiral Serrano would know how ogres were grown. Perversely, Harris was now determined to be cordial to the youngster.
Are you scheduled out of here?
No, not yet.
Fine. Then you can meet me at the Captain's Guild for dinner. They use a screwball clock setting here. 5 shifts in the day and 5 hours in each shift, and it starts at what we'd call main day, or first shift. So make it 3rd and 1.
Yes, sir. Ma'am.
I'll guide you out.
He could find his own way on such a tiny ship, but Harris wouldn't let even a relative wander around unescorted. The cube contained substantially more than the Admiral's itinerary for the next year or so. Harris had suspected it would when she turned it over to Meharry.
Video, audio, and a big chunk of encrypted stuff. Does your family have its own code scheme?
More than one. I suppose she wonders if I kept the key.
Should've known. You great families.
As if you didn't have something of the same sort. What I'm really concerned about is any kind of ghost or vampire, or even an owl. Anything that might compromise our own information systems.
No hooters at all, and nothing that my spook catchers notice. Want me to let Esteban have a look?
No, I trust your judgment on this. Let's see if my key works on the encrypted stuff.
Video came up.
She looks like you on a bad day. Sorry, Captain.
It's our classic bone structure. Plus 30 or 40 years. I forget how old she'd be by now. Anyway, she's taller.
Her aunt the Admiral had silver hair now, even more striking against her dark face.
Harris, it would probably be best if you watch the rest of this in private.
How'd you know I was here? Is this going to have a compulsion component in it?
I doubt that. Family matters mostly. Stay if you want. I'm not sensitive to dirty laundry at the moment.
No, thanks. I don't want more than one Serrano mad at me.
Meharry stalked out, very much like a cat twitching its tail after being sprinkled with water. Harris started the data stream again. Her aunt the Admiral, someone she had dreamed about being as a girl, someone she had hoped to impress as a young officer, someone she had thought of as a mentor and even a friend, someone who had not come to her rescue when she needed it desperately.
Harris, I trust that you'll hear me out, no matter how bitter you are. This is critical material, and it may be my only chance to brief you. I'm still not sure who kept me from finding out about your trouble, and at the moment that's no longer a priority item. The future of the Familius Regnant and the regular space service is.
A full hour later, Harris sat back and stretched. In the same organized, concise way that had earned her an Admiral's Stars 2 years ahead of anyone else in her cohort, her aunt had laid out what she knew of the factional disputes within the regular space service and where the present political stress might rupture the fleet. She had been given her aunt's best guess on which family members to trust, which senior officers to trust, where certain fragrant bones were buried, assuming that she could trust her aunt. Admirals apologized rarely. Her aunt had once explained at a family party when Harris was still a student and her own stars were years in the future that that was because they planned ahead and had no need to. But the good ones could and did, her aunt had said, when they must. She had believed her aunt was a good admiral, her aunt who apologized for her own and the family's betrayal.
I love you, Harris. I hope you believe that, if nothing else. With the trouble coming, I want you to know that I consider you one of the best Serranos of your generation, and one of the best young officers we had, too.
It would take a long time to digest everything in the cube, if it was true, but she felt that it was true. It felt right, and she'd always had good intuitions about that. And if true, then she thought she understood some things Levati had not told her. The sooner they were off this station, the better. Deep space was going to be a lot safer for everyone for a while. The Captain's Guild dining room on Zenebra Station had the usual quiet, respectable atmosphere. Not quite as stultifying as the Senior Officers Club at a sector headquarters, but almost. Two tables away, a merchant captain in the uniform of a major line dined alone without looking up. Across the room, a quiet group of officers from another line chatted while waiting to be served. Baron recoiled from the menu's prices at first.
I'm treating you. Have something you like.
It's also fancy.
Not really. Only a step up from any ordinary restaurant on Dockside. You've been eating Academy Chow too long. If you want to see fancy, you should see Lady Cecilia's tables. I couldn't believe it when I first went to work for her. She thinks every meal should be a work of art.
He wavered, uncertain. Harris took a guess from his eye movements and ordered for him, waving away his objections.
Maybe it's just curiosity, but if you don't like it, you can always get yourself a basic cube of processed goo afterwards.
But Lasafarin snailfish?
You wanted it. I could tell. You might like it. I do.
He relaxed, bit by bit, as he worked his way into the food with youthful appetite. Harris asked no questions, letting him tell her what he would about himself. Jerd and Gesta's oldest son, normal fleet childhood, which meant in and out of service creches. Academy prep school. He had graduated fifth in his class there. Academy. He had been second to a brilliant daughter of an admiral who'd been killed in her first assignment when a glitch in a power plant readout turned out to be a real problem in the power plant, not the readout. Harris wondered about that after her aunt's report. Top fleet officers were losing too many of their children, the best ones, in accidents in the first 2 years out of the academy. Of course, those were the dangerous years. Youngsters full of book knowledge, eager to prove themselves, they got into trouble. So had she. But someone had been there to get her out, and if her aunt was right, there were fewer rescues these days. This boy, though, he was bright enough and good enough. She liked the way he described his first tour as ensign on a cruiser. He didn't reveal anything he shouldn't, even though she was a family member and former fleet officer, and yet he didn't appear to be holding back.
Communications. You know, when I was commissioned, we didn't have FTL communications except from planetary platforms. I was on Boarhound when they mounted the first shipboard Ansible, and at first it was only one way from the planet to us. That was still pretty exciting. Then they worked out how to get enough power for transmission.
It's still not unlimited.
No, I know that. But someday I expect they'll figure out ways to give us real-time communication in all situations. Something in jump space would be a real help.
An understatement. A way to communicate in and out of jump space would radically change space warfare.
But that's beside the point. You're going back to see the Admiral?
Yes, sir. Ma'am.
Either will do. Tell her from me that I don't entirely understand, but I have heard what she's saying. Can you do that?
Of course, sir.
Good. And tell her I love her.
He flushed again, but nodded. Harris was almost glad to see that embarrassment. An honest young man would be embarrassed to repeat such a message, but he would do it. Coming from him directly, it would have the effect she wanted. She looked at the chronometer on the wall.
Sorry to leave you, but I've got work scheduled. If there's anything I can do to assist, feel free to call on me.
He pushed back his chair with a last glance at a dessert guaranteed to cause heart failure in anyone over 20, but Harris waved him down.
No, finish that. Don't waste it. I'll take care of everything on the way out. Give my regards to family.
Meaning everyone but the Aunt Admiral. He could interpret that how he liked. But, polite to the end, he stood until Harris had left the dining room. She hoped he would sit back down and finish that dessert. He had earned it. The next day, Cecilia arrived without warning.
I had to take a standby seat on the shuttle. People are leaving in droves, of course.
Harris had noticed that. Half the ships docked when they arrived had already left.
But I wanted to talk to you.
Here or en route to your next destination? If you want to leave, I need to file with the station master.
Here for now. I might even go back down once more to talk to Ari. What happened? Did you and Petrus have a fight? You look upset about something.
It's not Petrus. It's my family. They sent someone to talk to me.
About time.
Cecilia kicked off her boots and wiggled her toes luxuriously.
I was standing in line for 2 hours. Standing in line is a lot worse than walking.
Agreed.
Harris hoped Cecilia would stay on another topic, but that was too much to expect.
Your family sent someone. I hope whoever it was crawled on his or her belly and licked your toes.
Cecilia, what a disgusting thought. No, it was a very nice young man just out of the academy. My Aunt Admiral's grandson.
Apologetic?
In a way. Not personally, but on behalf of. And she sent a data cube herself. It's just, I'm still not sure I understand.
I know I don't understand. Why didn't she help you?
She says she didn't know in time. She wants to talk to me about it if it's convenient.
And you?
I want to think it over.
Harris, I want to ask you something.
Of course.
Do I seem different since my rejuvenation? I don't mean the obvious. Something else.
The obvious. Your body, your hair color. I'm not sure about the rest. A young person is supposed to have more energy, so I presume that along with a younger body, a healthier body, you have more intrinsic energy. Is that right?
Yes, but that's not exactly
what... No, I'm feeling my way. You are different. In behavior as well as body, but I'm not sure which caused which. You were never, passive. Look, even as an old lady, you were energetic, feisty, and stubborn. Now your body's younger, and you're even more energetic, feisty, and stubborn. High-tempered. But I didn't know you when you were this age the first time around, so I can't say if you're changed.
That was the crux of it right there. Harris hadn't been born when Cecilia had been 40. What she was right now wasn't really 40. It was 87 in a 40-year-old mask.
I'm not really 40, Harris. I have all the experience of the next 47 years, all of it. What I need to know is whether the treatment changed me, the person I am, and sent me off on a new course.
I would say that it had to. The course of a life without rejuvenation, for someone your age, you were preparing to detach, to relinquish your grip on life itself.
Not yet. I was only 84. I'd have had another 20 years.
But you'd given up competitive riding. You'd gradually reduced your social contacts. All signs that you accepted, however reluctantly, the evidence of age. You expected to enjoy your remaining years, but you weren't pushing toward anything new.
True, I suppose.
She didn't like to hear that analysis, but she could not deny the evidence.
Now you've been put back, physically at least, to your most productive period. You have 20 to 30 years of vigorous activity before you begin the decline again, unless you renew the process. That has to change your course. You could not fail to act differently now than 3 years ago.
I had a visitor. That man.
Yes.
He's a multiple rejuvenant. He thinks I should identify myself with them.
Who?
Those who have rejuvenated with the new procedures. Those who expect to renew their rejuvenations. They have adopted customs for identification, for interaction. Given the age of the procedure itself, most of those who have used it are my age or younger.
I thought it had been around for 80 years or so.
It has. But remember that it competed at first with the old procedure, which had proven its safety.
Harris couldn't remember, of course. She only remembered a discussion of the new procedure, then far more expensive than the standard. By the time she was 30, it had gained some ground. But it was incompatible with the earlier procedure. No one who had the Stochaster could then have the Ramhof Inakin. Cecilia had been nearly 50 when the laws forbidding serial rejuvenation were changed. She explained this, aware of the gaps in her own knowledge. She had been so sure she wouldn't choose rejuvenation that she had ignored most of the arguments about it.
There's always been age stratification, particularly those who have attained prestige or power. The older they are, the more they hold. But if there's a sizable group now which is immortal, I see the potential for more rigid stratification, even alienation.
That's what bothers me. I've always been rich. I've always known that my life wasn't anything like the average. I've enjoyed my wealth, but felt that it was fair because I was going to die someday and someone else would have everything I had owned. True, most of it would go to other rich people, my family, but I wasn't trying to hang on to it. From what Peter said, I'd suspect that others are. Lorenza certainly was. And I feel my own ambition stirring, along with the changes in my body. I won the All-Union Championship before. I could do it again.
How many times?
I don't know. I never tired of it when I could still do it. The feel of riding a great course is like nothing else. Mind and body together. Stupid riders, no matter how athletic, don't survive, and clumsy smart ones don't either. Yet in the field I care most about, the prizes are limited. I've won Huerin, I've won Scatlin, I've won Patchcock.
Patchcock?
Cecilia had not wanted her train of thought interrupted and glared back.
Yes, Patchcock. It's not the equestrian center Huerin is. It's uglier, for one thing. Not really an ag world. But they have a circuit of 5 or 6 major events in the uplands, and...
Patchcock is politically unstable.
Has been since my time.
Cecilia had not been back since winning the Patchcock Circuit Trophy 2 in a row, and then losing to Roddy Carnover, after the fall that broke her leg in several places. That had been over 40 years before.
My point is, I've achieved all the goals that attract event riders in the Familias. I could compete in the Guerni Republic, I suppose, or even beyond, though the travel times get to be fierce. But why? Suppose I did win the All-Union title 40 years in a row, and then rejuved again, and won it 40 times more. I can't see that, even though I love riding and want to keep doing it.
And this Pater...
My goals have always been limited. I did learn to manage my own investments after my parents died, but only so that I had plenty of money to pursue my real interest, the horses. And horse people have always had more contact with other social strata. You can't compete with horses unless you're active in the stable as well. Not mucking out all the stalls, but you aren't likely to be stupidly contemptuous of those who do. Horses are natural levelers, and not only when they dump you in the mud.
But equestrians have always been rich.
Yes and no. The really good ones from poor families get corporate sponsorship, while those of us who do it think of riding as recreational, its position in the economy is actually entertainment. The recreation of the audience, not the participant. So there's been access for the equestrian with less talent.
Cecilia frowned, remembering that she had told Harris about her own misuse of power and money against a talented junior.
Of course, there are abuses. I did it myself, as you know. But in general, there are openings.
Don't you think the other rejuvenants will get as tired of chasing their prizes as you say you will become of chasing eventing titles?
I'm not sure. I'm afraid not. By the nature of the system, an equestrian's goals are limited. But someone whose joy is gaining economic or political power, what will stop him?
I see your point. The logical answer is expansion. opening new opportunities.
And the Familius Regnant has never been an expansive system.
No, but we both know who is. Just how long do you suppose the Benignity has had this process? And did they think of the implications back at the first?
It's like training.
What do you mean?
The inexperienced or incompetent trainer attempts to control everything through the horse. The good trainer controls herself. It is your control of your own body that allows you to give the signals needed and notice if they're understood. What I'm afraid of, with this group Pader speaks of, is that they'll try to control everything else before themselves. I don't want to be around people like that.
It was easy to say that, but in real life, in practical terms, she wondered what difference it might make. Cecilia clipped the blue and silver ring to her ear and grimaced into the mirror. It felt like the first time she had worn a competition number all those decades ago. She was declaring herself part of something she didn't understand, although she had a much better idea of what competitive riders were like than she had of her fellow rejuvenants. She didn't know what kind of reception she would get, if anyone else would notice. The bank officer's gaze snagged briefly on the ring. She noticed that he had two, one in each ear.
Ah, Lady Cecilia, and how may we assist you today?
I'm going to be traveling to agricultural research worlds, picking up equine samples for my breeding farm on Rotterdam. I may be out of touch for extended periods, and I wanted to be sure that there were no problems with my line of credit.
Oh, I wouldn't expect any. So far, the political situation has had no effect on commerce. Certainly, our institution is stable.
I wasn't doubting it. Only my travel advisors pointed out that some of the worlds I want to visit are served only by Ansible for anything beyond a system transfer.
Ah, do you have a list of these worlds?
Cecilia handed it over.
Ordinarily, I could deal with an agency that specializes in equine genetics, but I'm looking for something I can't really define. I'll know it when I see it.
Yes, I think the best thing would be a batch dump to the local system's registered financial institutions. That way they'd have your references when you arrived, and your line of credit would be established at both ends. Can you estimate your needs?
Cecilia had that information as well, and he fed it into his desktop.
We're leaving Zenebra shortly. Can you give me an estimate of clearance times?
Well, unless your yacht is faster than anything I ever heard of, your local approvals will all be waiting days before you arrive, m'lady. And may I say it's good to see you back in competition. I hope you find the right mount for next year's trials.
The assumptions took her breath away, but she merely nodded her thanks and returned to the ship. The ring in her ear felt huge, heavy with responsibilities she didn't want.
Ronnie knew perfectly well he'd been dismissed. His aunt wouldn't listen to him. Harris Serrano, while she might have had good advice, wouldn't help him directly. And Rafa wouldn't answer his calls. He went to George and poured out his troubles. George's solution, which would have been adequate a year before, now seemed childish.
I don't want to make Rafa jealous. I don't care about singers or dancers or anything else.
Then take the bold captain's advice and go do something brave and wonderful and impress Rafa. She'll come around.
It's easy for you.
George was perilously near to odiousness again. As far as Ronnie was concerned, he had been plucked from life's tree to lie sodden in the gutter, a dead leaf.
Tell you what, I'll go with you. It is dull, with no more royals to play games, with no regimental ditties for dancing. Let's go explain to Bunny and my father how useful we can be if they'll just give us the appropriate errand for two handsome, talented, brave young men.
You're ridiculous.
But Ronnie's heart lifted a little, a dead leaf still, but one that might blow where the wind sent it. He let George make the call and the appointment.
And don't tell your parents. It's all their fault, remember, and you're furious with them.
He wasn't really. It wasn't their fault. They had tried, and Aunt Cecilia had simply gone off like fireworks. But he understood George's point. It was hard enough to have them lurking around trying to cheer him up about Rafa. If they knew he was about to go do something, they'd hover even more. Ronnie let George explain that they both felt they could be of use to the new government, that they had unique talents which should be exploited. He halfway expected Lord Thornbuckle and George's father to laugh at them and send them away, but instead they exchanged significant looks.
You're serious? You would be willing to go anywhere and do anything.
George looked at Ronnie.
Well, perhaps not quite anything. I mean, if you had in mind sweeping streets in some benighted mining village, I'd rather not. Be a waste of our abilities, anyway.
And you see your abilities as?
Discreet, loyal, young gentlemen of the world. Able to take care of themselves, strong, healthy, the usual. Intelligent enough, ingenious.
Ingenious, yes. That's how you nearly got yourself killed, wasn't it? But we might have something suitable for two young wastrels at that.
It's fairly complicated, and it's extremely confidential. If you were still on active service, we could not possibly share this with you.
That sounded serious enough. Ronnie tried for an expression of intelligent interest. To his surprise, Lord Thornbuckle started by talking about rejuvenation.
Most people now use the Ramhoff-Inniken method, which allows serial rejuvenations.
Up to how many?
I don't know. Anyway, the pharmaceuticals used in this process are manufactured in the Guarni Republic. Most are imported from the Guarnesi, simply because of their known quality. They developed the process, they know it best. And, of course, it was originally illegal in the Familias, so people had to go there to have it done.
Why was it illegal?
It's a long story that doesn't concern you. It's not illegal now, but most of our supply still comes that way. Now, you know that Lorenza was involved in the distribution of illicit pharmaceuticals, right?
Ah, like what happened to George and the Prince.
Yes, and others. Some we know and some we suspect. Lady Cecilia's medical reports suggest that some of these drugs are very similar to variants of the rejuvenation drugs. We are concerned that our supply of Ramhoff-Inniken drugs might be adulterated at some point between the manufacturer and the user. The Guernesi do their shipping by commercial carrier, and something Harris Serrano said made us wonder about the security of those shipments. If the compassionate hand wanted to cause us real trouble adulterating those drugs, perhaps contaminating them with mind-altering components would be a good start.
So it would be very useful to us if you could take a sample of these drugs back to the Guarni Republic and have them analyzed. Are they still what we paid for? If not, what would be the effects of using them in the rejuvenation procedure? What symptoms should we look for in multiple rejuvenants that suggest a misuse of the drugs?
You want us to go with some drug samples?
It would be helpful, yes. And the data we've collected so far, we've been wondering whom we could trust to hand-carry these things. It's not something we want to risk to ordinary shipping.
We've got perfect cover. Young men, rich and fun-loving. The sort who would ordinarily be running off to distant places for the fun of it. Everyone knows Ronnie and Raffaella Forrester Science broke up. Everyone suspects the reasons. What's more natural than fleeing from the constraints of home? Especially since your aunt had been there, and you might have legitimate questions about her medical treatment.
I might?
Of course. She came back and sued your parents. You might be questioning whether her rejuvenation, which did not involve suspect drugs since it was done there, had influenced her mind, or whether the original attack did.
Oh.
Ronnie and George adjourned to George's suite at his father's house, where they could be reasonably sure they were free of intrusive recorders.
How are we going to keep the samples from being stolen?
Why would they be, if no one knows we're carrying them?
But if someone suspects...
Look, you heard what they said. I've got the perfect excuse for going to the Guarni Republic. My aunt was rejuvenated there, and her doctors asked for clarification of the records.
They won't let you look at her records.
How do you know? They have different laws. Maybe their laws don't say anything about medical confidentiality. Besides, I can ask. They don't have to answer.
Well, I suppose that makes sense.
George reached out and took a handful of tawny grapes.
Mmm. These are good. I wish we were traveling with your Aunt Cecilia. I've never forgotten the food her gardeners and cooks put on the table.
Which brings up how we will travel. It will be too obvious if we take a private yacht.
We're going commercial?
Yes, and not even a major line. Your father suggested a mixed cargo vessel.
Blast him. He's afraid we'll get into trouble on a big passenger liner. He should know better by now.
Well, unless you want to pop for a ticket yourself, we haven't much choice.
Ronnie's parents, faced with a lawsuit from his aunt, were busily divesting themselves of assets, trying to lessen the blow. That meant his usual generous credit line had been pared down,
If not to the bone, at least well beneath its usual cushion.
No. My father says this is no time for us to show off our wealth, and I'm not in the royals anymore, so I don't need that size allowance. I think he's trying to get me to go do something with my life, you know?
I know.
It's time you made something of yourself, young man. And when I was your age, I had already that speech.
He doesn't say it like that, but he's hinting. At least he's not pushing me to take classes at the university.
Brun had fun on a mixed cargo ship. We should be able to survive.
Survival won out over fun when they discovered that there were no, absolute zero, eligible girls on the Secorville. No eligible anythings, in fact. The other passengers were bored, middle-aged, middle managers on business trips. Once they discovered that Ronnie and George were chairholders' sons and not active in any corporation, they went back to their hand comps and ignored them. Finally, they arrived in the Guerny Republic and transferred to a local line for the run to Music. At last, there were other passengers, not only Guernesi, and not all over 40. Ronnie had no trouble acting the rich young man, and although he missed Rafa, he had to admit that evenings spent dancing in the passenger lounge were more restorative than those spent lying in the bunk, wishing she were there. On Music, they deliver their samples and the data cubes to the pharmaceutical industry's combined quality control laboratory. The director met them in his office.
We'll have the preliminary results in a day or so, but you'll want more precise tests if anything shows up. If these were not manufactured here, for instance, I presume you would like some idea where else they might have been made.
Ronnie hadn't known that was possible.
Well, yes.
You're not a chemist or pharmacist.
No.
Ronnie hated to admit he was nothing but an ignorant errand boy, but that was the truth.
I understood that you had the confidence of your new prime minister, or whatever you call him.
Yes. That is, he's a good friend of our family.
Well, we'll be in touch. If you'll just give me your local address.
Clearly a dismissal. Ronnie looked at George and shrugged. Whatever the man thought, they were the familius in this matter, and when he viewed the cube, he would probably feel differently about it. In the meantime, they had a world to explore. Naturally, they spent that evening discovering the many ways in which young people of the city amused themselves. George watched two stunning women stroll out of the bar they were just entering.
Let's not stay too long anywhere.
No.
Ronnie, with Rafa at the back of his mind, was more interested in Music. He had chosen this bar not quite at random, from the music drifting out when the door opened.
Come on, George. We still haven't eaten yet.
George settled at the table Ronnie chose and punched up the table's menu.
That's not what I meant.
Ronnie leaned back and looked at the musicians clumped on a tiny stage. He saw two instruments new to him, one with strings and one that he guessed was a woodwind. His gaze drifted toward the bar itself, and he grabbed George's arm.
George, look over there. Who does that remind you of?
Good Lord, it is. Gerald. But he's dead. Your aunt said he died on her yacht.
Well, that's not dead. If it's not Gerald, it must be a clone. Do you suppose the Guernesi did it?
Through Ronnie's mind ran all the grisly possibilities he'd ever heard of, mostly from wild adventure yarns. Clones developed from the cells of dead men, raised to seek vengeance on murderers and the like. George, clearly, was thinking of the same stories.
It hasn't been that long. I thought they took years to grow.
We'd better find out. Suppose Aunt Cecilia was wrong. Someone ought to know.
Memory tugged at him with that phrase. Who'd said that, with disastrous results? He watched the prince, or his clone, take a long swallow of something in a tankard. It had to be the prince. That way of holding his head, the way his shoulders moved when he drank. It couldn't be anyone else.
Wait for me. I've got to check this out.
Without hearing whatever George had to say, he moved closer, his awareness narrowing to the young man at the bar as if he were a hunter stalking prey. The young man looked around, the very picture of slightly bored courtesy.
Excuse me. I believe we met. You're Gerald.
You're mistaken. My name is Gerald Andre Smith, but we've never met.
His eyes had betrayed him, with a moment of fear now shuttered in caution.
Ah.
Ronnie had no idea what to say next. This close, the young man looked exactly like the prince. but a prince not as stupefied as he had been in the last few years. Even the little scar on the temple from the time he'd fallen against a goalpost playing soccer.
I'm sorry to bother you, but you remind me very much of someone I grew up with. Extraordinary resemblance.
I'm sorry, but I think we need not continue this conversation under the circumstances.
But...
Ronnie felt a little nudge under his pocket and glanced down. Something glinted there. Something his mind recognized, refused, and recognized again.
I'm sorry, but I'm not going back.
But I didn't mean...
The young man's eyes, Gerald's eyes, met his.
Whatever you meant, it's trouble for me. And I don't want trouble. I want to live here and be left alone. My treatments are almost finished.
Ronnie, what's wrong?
George was finally aware that Ronnie was in trouble. But he was in danger, too. Ronnie couldn't think what to do or say. Then he glanced beyond George and saw another prince, or clone, or whatever they were.
We need to go outside, don't we?
Anti-terrorism lectures had instructed Ronnie that going with an abductor made things worse. Resist in place, he'd been told. But the lectures hadn't told him about the sudden hollow feeling under his breastbone, or the way his knees would tremble when he thought about the weapon pressed to his side. And he was sure this was Gerald, whom he had known all his life. Gerald might want to have their postponed duel at last, but he was honorable.
Are you planning to kill us outside?
I very much hope not, but it's imperative that we talk without witnesses, and I don't intend to argue with you.
Much more decision than Gerald had shown in years, but Ronnie felt vaguely comforted.
All right. Don't hurt George. He went through enough last time.
I know, but we can't talk about it here. Come on.
But who are you?
The two identical young men gave each other quick, amused glances.
Gerald Smith.
Herded between the two Geralds, Ronnie and George found themselves moving along a crowded street and finally into a tiny tavern opening on a square with a fountain. It was empty except for an aproned woman behind the bar and the four of them.
I didn't know there were places like this here. Until now, the Guernsey have been entirely too practical for my taste. Everything modern and convenient.
Ronnie wondered if his unconcerned tone fooled the Geralds.
This is modern and convenient. The Guernsey simply have a different style of modern and convenient. They like small gathering places that cater to particular clients.
Like clones?
Clones aren't illegal in the Guernsey Republic. In fact, clone work groups are common, even preferred for some occupations.
Like abducting people.
Ronnie wanted to throttle him. Hadn't George learned his lesson on the island? Did he still think he was invincible?
The odious George. You haven't changed a bit.
You are the prince's clones.
Ronnie hardly believed it, even now. They looked steadily back at him, then shook their heads in unison.
Yes, we are. Illegally created in the Familius Regnant to be the prince's doubles when necessary. No one was supposed to know about us, except the necessary few. A secret kept by a couple of doctors, implant tape technicians, the odd crown minister, the king's immediate family, and who knows what other oddments can hardly be called a secret.
Did Gerald know about you?
Oh, yes. He thought it was some kind of game. He wished we could all be together like brothers. He missed his brothers a lot, I think. But of course that was impossible. The only times we were together in that sense was when we underwent the matching programming.
Which is?
Conditioning tapes shared among us so that we all knew what the public persona was supposed to know and anything of Gerald's that they felt we needed. Cosmetic alterations to match appearance following any trauma.
The clones touched the matching scars that had convinced Ronnie they had to be Gerald himself.
And no, that didn't hurt. They were humane, our controllers, if you look at it that way.
I don't think I do. It doesn't seem fair.
No one chooses a birth. It was a better life than many. Privilege, wealth, and endless party, in a way. You know that.
Yes.
Ronnie found it hard to remember clearly how he had thought 2 years ago. It was embarrassing, really. But he knew he, like the prince, had assumed limitless privilege, boundless wealth, and constant entertainment were his birthright.
I owe you an apology, really.
For threatening me?
No. For causing trouble between you and the prince. The quarrel was really my fault.
The clone traced designs on the tabletop with the condensation from his beer mug.
Gerald Prime had lost interest in that singer months before, but I hadn't. Her voice, I don't know what you did in your time with her, but I was learning opera. She thought it was touching that the prince really cared about music. I prolonged the relationship so it overlapped with yours. You were jealous, I think, and she certainly found you a better bed partner than I, who cared only for her voice.
If you'll excuse my mentioning it, you seem to be brighter than the prince was toward the end.
We're clones, but we're not the same person he was. We can't be. Identical twins, bio-natural clones, were like that too. Each an individual person, even if outsiders couldn't tell them apart. We have similarities built into the genome, but we're not determined. I happen to love old-fashioned opera. The prince himself had an ear for music, but preferred instrumental. And that's that, Gerald. I too have an inborn ear for music, but my preference is far more popular. Since I've been here, I've discovered Casa Negra, which they tell me is descended from an entirely different old Terran tradition than opera.
Ronnie glanced from one to the other.
I can't deal with this Gerald A and Gerald B. If you don't help me out, I swear I'll give you nicknames, both rude.
You forget that we're armed and dangerous.
So shoot me. I'm not going to struggle with it.
The clones looked at each other, then finally nodded.
I'm Andres and he's Borges. Borges and opera, Andres and Casa Negra, if you can keep that straight.
I don't see why, if you're clones, you're not identical mentally as well. What's the use if you're not?
Identity is more than genes. I didn't understand it all myself until the medical experts here explained it as they tried to figure out which of us was which. I always knew who I was, even when others got us confused. And Bor knew, and the others, whatever names they might have chosen, if they had the chance. And Gerald, I suppose. When he wasn't so confused, he didn't know day from night. And in case you've wondered, apparently we never got the full dose of the drugs used on Gerald. They tell us we're normal. But even though we're identical at the genetic level, developmentally there are always minute differences in brain structure resulting from exactly which neurons connect with which in what order.
But why didn't you tell Captain Serrano which was which when she came to take the prince for medical treatment? Or at least explain once you were here. It might have saved...
I don't see why we should care. They had us made for their own selfish reasons. Yes, we enjoyed a life that was mostly pleasurable, but we had no freedom. Why should we risk anything to help them?
I suppose I thought you were a gentleman.
Gentlemen? Clones? I suppose in the historical sense we are. If you think that's all in the blood, but otherwise absolutely not. Not if you mean some ridiculous code of behavior, which, after all, our prime didn't adhere to, as you know very well. I don't know what Joe would have been if he hadn't been drugged, but on the whole, he was as little bound by notions of duty as anyone I ever knew. You, at your worst, were a paragon of dedication beside him.
George flushed and turned to Ronnie.
I thought your aunt said they were nice young men.
She also said she was sure that the one who was killed was Gerald himself. A fool, but a noble fool. Look, you remember Captain Serrano?
Of course. An unusual person, we thought.
What did you think of her?
Well, unusual, as Andre said. Intelligent, perhaps a bit stuffy, the way fleet officers often are.
And my Aunt Cecilia? I know she spoke with all of you.
She's your aunt? I didn't realize that. She's the one who told the king our prime was not normal, wasn't she?
Yes.
I liked her. She told us we shouldn't go back. She told us we could make a better life here. And she was right. The Guernsey have given us limited citizenship. We can get full rights in 5 years if we're employed and have a clean legal record. Clones are not only legal, but valued. It'd be crazy to go back.
I wouldn't ask you to go back. My aunt would skin me if I did. But in your position, you might have heard things. Things we need to know that might help us hold the alliances together. That's what I'd like to ask you about.
We're a lot safer if we don't know anything. If we did know, did remember, and told you, then the next person who wanted to know mightn't be so friendly. Surely you can see that.
Ronnie could. He could imagine a whole series of people who would think the clones must certainly know. Some of them very rough indeed.
But we wouldn't have to tell anyone where we got the information.
The clones merely looked at him. Of course that wasn't enough. Of course they wouldn't trust that. Would they trust anything? The clones' apartment, when they reached it, was a decent-sized 3 rooms with bath in an area they said housed many students. Ronnie hadn't tried to convince himself to bolt on the way there. Surely the clones wouldn't really kill them. If nothing else, it would interfere with their citizenship application. But the Gerald who had thrown himself on the gas grenade on Cerealis was dead, from another gallant act. These were only clones, who had already made it clear their ethics did not match Gerald's.
We'll think of something. We'll prefer not to kill you. We're not experienced at this sort of thing, and we might botch disposing of your bodies. That way you'd cause us even more trouble. Maybe we can get a hold of some drugs to alter your memories or something. In the meantime...
In the meantime meant uncomfortable positions, tethered back to back. The next morning, Borges raided their pockets.
Sorry, but we don't have enough money to feed you and us, and I presume you're hungry.
We are expected back at the Institute.
Thanks for reminding us. I think you need to send a message saying you two went somewhere and won't be back for a few decades at least. Let's see, what might two wealthy young men do on this planet besides hang around here? Andres, pick up a travel cue, why don't you?
With the threat of imminent death, Ronnie found he was quite willing to contact the hotel and explain that they had decided on a tour. No, hold their luggage. They were going horse packing and would have to buy the survival gear they needed closer to the trailhead. George grimaced when Ronnie got through.
I don't know why you wouldn't go for that cruise. If anyone asks, Andres, they'll know it wasn't us. Ronnie and me riding horses in the mountains?
The cruise ship has constant contact with the shore. It would be easy enough to transfer a query. We inquired, and this tour company offers a real wilderness experience. No comsets at all. No one from the Familiars is going to try, if they call the hotel, to be told you're out of the city touring. It costs too much and takes too long to have a real-time conversation.
Over the next few days, George kept after the clones whenever he was awake, pointing out repeatedly that they had no plan, that they couldn't hold prisoners in an apartment forever, that someone would eventually find out.
We could kill you. At least we wouldn't have to listen to you, even in prison.
You don't want to kill us. You know that. You've said that. What you want is decent anonymity, right?
Of course.
Then get plastic surgery.
The clones looked at each other, then back at George.
We like being clones. We're used to it.
Fine. I'm not asking you to change that. But get enough change so that you don't look like Gerald to any casual tourists from the Familias who might happen into a tavern and see you. You can kill us, of course, and you may be right that my father wouldn't be able to find you or extradite you. But if Familia's visitors start dying off, the Guernesi are going to notice.
And you already told us they have a very efficient law enforcement system.
The clones looked at each other again.
We're used to looking like this.
You're also used to being mistaken for Gerald, but you don't like it. Just a little change, enough that the Familia's crown prince isn't the first person that pops into mind when you're seen. Then you could be a normal clone pair here, and no one would ever know.
Except you two.
And my Aunt Cecilia and Captain Serrano. They haven't spread it around. Why do you think we would?
Ronnie, I know you too well. Remember the royals?
I was a silly young ass then.
And you are suddenly a wise old greybeard.
No, but if I couldn't be discreet, I'd never have gotten my aunt out of that nursing home.
She didn't tell us that.
Were they interested or just pretending? It didn't matter. Ronnie was more than willing to keep talking if it gave him a chance to live longer. He spun the tale out, emphasizing everyone's role, George spreading the rumors about a drop-in party at the facility that had created the confusion, Brunn with her hot air balloon modified with unobtrusive steering apparatus, and the scramble to get his aunt into it. He hadn't told even George all the details, his mingled terror and disgust as he unhooked Cecilia from her medical monitors and dressed her. He got as far in the story as leaving the parking lot at the facility.
And what did you do then?
Went home, got out my parasail, and joined our crowd for a party at the beach.
The police had found him there sometime after midnight, with witnesses to say he'd been there since late afternoon. And the facility staff had checked him out as he left there, alone.
They knew she hadn't walked off by herself, and they suspected that she'd been abducted, was the word they used, during the festival, when so many balloons were around. But they couldn't prove anything against me. I kept expecting the attendant who had set up the tape loop to accuse me, but he disappeared. They claimed they had no tape records of any of the patients for that day, that something had happened to them, and Mother threatened to sue them for negligence. I was afraid if she did, they'd search harder and find them. Perhaps the attendant ran off with them when he realized Cecilia was gone and his job was forfeit.
And you didn't confide in anyone?
No. It was too dangerous. George knew or suspected that I had something to do with it, but all he'd been told beforehand was to spread those rumors. I knew Brun was going to take Cecilia out in the balloon, but not where. I could guess it was to her family's private shuttle, but from there, I didn't know.
You would claim this proves your ability to keep secrets?
Well, yes. Doesn't it?
Not really. You just told us, presumably because you're scared. What if someone scared you about us?
Ronnie glanced at George, hoping he had a bright idea.
Oh, great. I hope you have nightmares, George.